Yeah, orange. Orange.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, Patreons. Happy Monday, Q&A day. Thank you for all your questions. James, you all right?
I'm all right, mate. I mean, I don't know how people are going to take the main podcast earlier where you thanked all the patrons at the end.
Did I?
Yeah. You said, have a good week, everyone. Thanks, patrons. Ciao for now.
Well, fuck the others. Gotta get paid. Gotta get paid. Nah, it's all good. Patrons, thank you for your questions. James, just now you said it's right. No one cares about you when you're winning. They only care about Spurs when you're losing. So let's go oldest questions to newest, starting from Friday last week.
See if we can find some ones when we were shit.
James, would you rather win the Carabao Cup and have Mourinho for another year? But I'm going to add a caveat to that. At the end of that year, he's gone. Definitely. No ifs, no buts, even if he wins the league. Or lose the final and have him sacked at the end of the season.
Lose the final, sacked at the end of the season.
This is really interesting now, where the big argument for keeping him is that he wins trophies and he'll bring a trophy to Spurs. But because of the level of performances or the way you've gone out of certain competitions, now it's like the Carabao, the trophy isn't enough because of the way you've won the trophy. Like, you've had one difficult game in the Carabao Cup, could be argued as, and the performance in the others haven't justified the trophy. But he could just as easily finish fourth and you could win a trophy, and then what?
Then he's fucking staying, isn't he? But then, to be fair, if he finishes fourth at the end of the season, then as much as I hate it, I'd have to go, well, he's keeping his job.
Yeah.
And then it's September, October repeat cycle next season. Mm. So, yeah, the football club needs to move on now.
It's not...
He's more important. Wasting time. Wasting time. League Cup trophy, great. It's part of the history, but wasting time.
Okay, Lauren. Oh, getting very technical here is Lauren. Just a question on Trent and perception of his season being on that he's been left out of the England squad, even though James and Walker deserve to be in the squad. 19-20 season, James. Yeah, you ready? Possession lost 29 times per 90 minutes. This season, it's 26.7 times. Pass completion last year, 76. Pass completion this year, 79. Final third passes, 23 per 90 minutes. This year, 26 per 90 minutes. Those stats are better than last season and are things he's been criticised for this season. Do you think if Liverpool had a striker like Harry Kane, who would be viewing Trent in a different light, have his forwards been letting him down because they're in poor form? Trent's not playing as well as he is last year, is he? Surely.
No, this is... look, so if we want to do stats, for example, I could say, well, in 2019-20, Trent Alexander-Arnold got 29 attacking returns. In 2018-19, he got 29 attacking returns. So far this season, he has four. Hmm. That's not just all down to forwards. And there's an impact on midfield on that as well.
Well, he hasn't played as many games as well, let's be honest.
There's an impact on that on the centre-halves. So the statistics there show that, yeah, probably in some circumstances, Trent has improved. Clearly, in some of the others that we associate with him, that's a massive drop-off. I mean, it's essentially performing to... He's not even going to reach 25% of expectation.
Yeah.
When you look at that, 29 attacking returns... in consecutive seasons for a fullback, is it any wonder I'd have paid any price for him in pre-season?
It's crazy. FPL Binger, I'm going to ask my question again. Apologies if I didn't ask it last time round then. Should the 6-second keeper rule be enforced?
Sorry, I should clarify. Those numbers that I'm saying on Trent are not goals and assists. They're assists and clean sheets.
Ah, okay.
They're not attacking
returns. FPL returns, as opposed to
assists, 13 and 15 per season, plus 16 and 14 clean sheets. There's also 5 goals over the 2 years. Mm. So actual attacking returns, respectively, is 14 and then 19 last season. He's still only on 4 for this season. If he's assists and clean sheets this season, he's on 10, as opposed to his usual rate of 29.
It's less. But he's played less games. Liverpool are shit and all the rest of it. So, but
it's still going to win the Champions
League. Yeah, quite, bottom line is neither you nor me think that Trent's not going to come back strong. Like he's just having a bit of a rough patch of it. His right foot is too good to not come back strong. It's one of the best right foots in the business, mate.
We spoke on the video for the advanced tiers, which I'm going to guess Lauren's probably seen anyway, about Trent at right wing back. Just doesn't do it for me. No. And that's what it comes down to. Right back, I'd play him.
FPL Binger, I'm going to ask my question again. Like I said, the 6-second keeper rule should be enforced. What would the consequences be, good and bad? Meaning the keeper can't hold the ball for more than 6 seconds.
Yeah, it's one of them rules that's just completely forgotten about now. It doesn't get acted upon until we get to sort of beyond 15 seconds now. So, I mean, who decided 6 seconds in the first place? Why not 5? Why not 10? You're probably better off doing it by law and enforcing 10 with a little bit of leeway, i.e. if the keeper has perhaps pushed over or something like that, or he's on the ground. But it's not even a rule anymore, is it? It's like foul throws.
No.
It's not a thing.
When you start talking about seconds, though, when we talked about how many seconds are wasted with VAR, all of a sudden, a few seconds here or there that a keeper wastes like that in the context of other time wasting that happens is negligible, really. So just let it go, in my opinion. I don't think it would necessarily help faster or slower in terms of the game. It just would be what it would be.
All you'd end up with, reality, is more long ball football. Because if the keeper thinks, fuck, I'm really going to get penalised, you just hoof the ball, don't you? Yep. That's not really the product anyone wants to see, is it?
No. Dylan, which sides do you look back on now and think they definitely should have won more? Take the Atletico side from the mid-2010s. Should have won a Champions League, in my opinion.
With bias on, the first name that comes to my mind is Tottenham. This decade gone, I mean, the Pochettino teams, right? How did it not win anything? Valencia, it was the second that comes to my mind.
Yeah,
the two consecutive Champions League finals in the early noughties.
Did Dortmund win as much as they could have, should have?
Dortmund were unfortunate that obviously with Klopp, and then it was Bayern's resurgence when Dortmund got to the Champions League final, was the beginning of Bayern's resurgence as a real power as well. So that probably impacted them. I'm trying to think domestically in England. No.
Do you think the likes of Juventus should have done more in Europe? Or is the standard of the Italian league so wank that you just walk that and then don't do anything overseas?
I think the standard of Italian teams might be making a slow bit of comeback, actually.
Yeah.
But it's certainly not helped them. I guess you could look at Juventus and say, okay, over the period of the last 8-9 years or so, they probably should have won a Champions League, but then got to two finals and got well beaten, both of them, by Barca and Madrid, respectively. So should they have? No, probably not. I guess City is another one you could throw an accusation at, in the fact that they haven't even been close to winning a Champions League. But I think for Champions Leagues, I think Valencia. I think for Premier Leagues, it's Tottenham. It genuinely would be Tottenham, wouldn't it? Would be the one you'd go, yeah, should have won more. Mm. I think that's a real honest assessment. On the last 10 years, you would say, yeah, Pochettino's Tottenham should have won something.
Okay. Billy Hadaway. I think I know the answer to this one. James, hypothetical question. Would you rather keep Jose or let he who shall not be named take over? It's got to be Mourinho, isn't it, for you?
Yeah, I would keep Mourinho.
Yeah, considering the other guy managed two, like Macclesfield or something, and didn't even do well there.
If the other guy was prepared to wear, like, a face mask or something and could coach properly, then I'd take him.
Who can challenge or beat Man City for the title next season? And is there a single player that a challenger should target to boost their chances?
I would think in terms of closest to potentially dethroning City next year, you would say at the moment Liverpool and Chelsea.
Yeah, Chelsea were the one that came to mind, just because, and it will be one of those where if Chelsea were to beat Man City next season, it would be an absolute triumph of efficiency over beauty, where they'll just grind out the 1-0s, 2-0s, concede fuck all goals, but just be a winning machine that Tuchel will create, as opposed to City that'll be free-flowing and great. Liverpool, we know the potential there if they get their centre-backs back and what have you, but I do think that Chelsea are more likely to challenge City next season. And with the rumours that Abramovich is going to, he doesn't give a fuck, he'll just try and do what he can to get Haaland. Like, if they bought Haaland or any 20, 30 goal a season striker, you'd think, fuck, yeah, all right.
Get him with a chance. Mm. I still think individually there's a lot still missing from that defensively, which seems super critical. But I think the actual makeup individually of that defence, it's doing quite well as a unit at the moment. I actually think they need better quality, believe it or not, in defensive areas. I think they will need another partner for N'Golo Kante or two new central midfielders in the coming years. The attacking midfielders, if we assume Mount is definitely going to be one, they need to find someone who's going to definitely put 12 to 15 goals on the board a season for them. And yeah, like if they get Haaland in, then they've got a superstar striker who can rival Harry Kane in terms of what's capable in Premier League circles. But I still think they're a way off. City...
I did like, to interrupt you, Dortmund's tweet at the weekend, Erling Haaland breaks his one-game Bundesliga goal drought.
the team most capable of beating City, and I think we've learnt this over the last few years, is City.
Yeah, agreed. Auto Reclose Darren. He's got a few non-football questions, James. You ready?
Oh, yeah, let's have it.
What came first, the colour orange or the fruit orange? It's the fruit.
The orange would be the colour of orange, no?
Yeah, but we didn't call it orange until it was like, okay, what's that? It's an orange. Well, okay, what colour is it? Let's just call the colour orange.
Or maybe we had the colour first and then we'd never seen a fruit like that before. Let's call it orange.
Definitely the fruit will have come first and then we would have called it orange, without a doubt.
What would Adam and Eve have said to that? Would they have said the fruit? They'd probably say the fruit, wouldn't they?
They were probably called apples greens and reds and strawberries reds. The problem is there's not many other fruits that are orange, is it? So you can go straight in, whereas red, there's quite a few.
What colour's like an apricot?
Yeah, orange. Orange. It's a tangerine.
Have we been duped? Tangerine and all... why did I say aubergine?
What colour the Blackpool? Apricot. What colour the Blackpool playing?
They would say tangerine.
So what came first, the tangerine, the fruit, or tangerine, the colour?
But then it's like Wolves are written there gold. Ugh. Everyone refers to Wolves in gold. I never seen Wolves playing gold.
Nah,
fucking orange as well. Just a dark shade.
A foil kit. One year they'll come out in a proper glossy foil kit. Auto Reclose Darren. Also, why is a W not a double V? But in certain languages, they write with a more swirly style, don't they? Scripty. So
yeah,
maybe
but then isn't an M just a double N?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
Or isn't a D just an A with an erection?
Oh, mate. What was your favourite computer game when you were growing up?
Probably FIFA.
I didn't play Mario Kart for me on the N64.
Yeah, a bit of Mario, a bit of Sonic on the old Mega Drive.
Sonic was all right. Lemmings on the PC and Mario Kart. Those are the two.
Resident Evil. I like the old Resident Evil games. You'd have to play them in the dark on your own.
Mm. Gary Robinson, can we have a moment's silence, please, for those who made transfers in the Telegraph game after seeing the Chelsea team be tweeted out, only for them to tweet a different team a few minutes later? Did they cock up there? I think Gary's talking about himself, is he? Maybe, potentially?
No, I know Andrew Ferguson from Hub did exactly the same. Loads of people did it. Yeah, Chelsea tweeted the wrong team. But it wasn't just like one or two players. It was like six or seven players were completely incorrect. He tweeted the team, and we're like, that's the team. And then like 5-10 minutes later, oh shit, that's not the team. This is the team. So that really did happen. So a lot of people got burnt by that.
Ouch. Jake, is there a case for wildcard game? FPL? What are you on about, Jake? Asking an FPL question. Is there a case for a game week 30 wildcard? It's only really the Leeds fixture that makes me want to hold off a week, as I'd be keeping Kane, Martinez anyway. Also means steaming into Chelsea for West Bromwich Albion.
But what else are you steaming into?
But the thing we've talked about, Chelsea, is I just want...
Arsenal and Liverpool playing each other, Wolves and West Ham playing each other. That's the point, isn't it? What? Yeah. Okay, yeah. The benefit is Chelsea. You go treble Chelsea, and they'll rotate the team anyway.
Mm. I'm only looking at Chelsea defensively. We talked about this last week, and so I've got one free transfer. And I got away with not taking a hit in the blank game week, and came out still with a big rank rise. So if I want to take my hit, I could do it this week, for example. I'm only looking at Chelsea defensively. So for me, I don't see it.
Other than Chelsea, for me, there's so many more reasons to wait. Unless you wanted to go like, I don't know, treble Everton or treble Southampton or something.
Mm.
I can't. I mean, Leicester. So you probably want, if you're wildcarding soon, you want some of that Leicester 32 to 35 period. So what, you're going to wildcard into two Leicester versus Man City or something? Arsenal against Liverpool against each other? No. Other than Chelsea, every other benefit is to wait a week.
Yeah. Right. Dave Hackinson. This is a good question, mate. Who do you think Haaland will join this summer, if anyone? Do you think he'll... I think he'll go this summer. He's scored too many goals for someone not to think. All that happens if you wait another year is another £50 million on his price tag.
I have it on good authority that Erling Haaland next season will be playing for Jose Mourinho's Newcastle United.
Okay. All the big build-up and then nothing.
I can't believe that City wouldn't want to buy him. There are reports coming out of Spain that Barcelona are going to go all out for him. So what are they going
to... How?
I don't know, mate. Oh, I don't know.
Barcelona, they're like your mate. You know, I remember at uni, there were people at uni that fucking, they never used to have any money, but when it was happier, they'd always have a pint in their hand. And then they never used to have any money, but whenever you go out for a fag, they were always there having a fag. That's Barcelona for you. Fucking hell.
And they always had two lighters.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
God.
I
think City is his best. It's got to be
City.
Option,
surely City are going to buy him.
It wouldn't surprise... I mean, they can offload now Aguero, right? City can. Maybe he'd go back to Atletico or whatever he wanted to do. I think there'll be people that still might be interested in Aguero. Would you take him at Spurs, Aguero?
No.
Yeah, I don't think... It's a backward step, but I think there'll be people that would take Aguero.
I mean, would I take him? Like, prime Aguero? I mean, fucking hell, amazing. But he's not. He's not. At the top level, you're going to get 10 to 15 games out of him if you're lucky. I see Chelsea and Barcelona again linked with Aguero. I don't see it. Best thing for Aguero probably is, well, best thing for Aguero is to take whoever offers him the most money and then do that for a year or two and then piss off back to Argentina. That's probably the best thing for him. I would be very, very surprised if City don't go all out for Haaland. It's so blindingly obvious.
Who do you think he should join?
City.
Yeah, that's the best club for him.
If I was him and I was choosing, I'd go and play for City.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, under Pep, I think so much of it is if Pep stays or how long Pep stays.
Not even just that, it's the supply line of the players behind, yeah, right? The knowing you've got Mahrez, De Bruyne and all that as well.
Yeah, Foden, Sterling, exactly. Gundogan, Bernardo. Do I need to go on?
Ferran, right. Torres.
Amrabat Man Joe, come on in. With it being the international break, what are your thoughts on current rules on player nationality, e.g. qualifying through grandparents, living in a country for 5+ years, or being able to change if only played in friendlies, i.e. Declan Rice, etc., etc.?
Nonsense. Frankly, you know, we've had this loads of times where it's like, oh yeah, Mikel Arteta can play for England now, or people have been saying about Emi Martinez recently as well. I don't really want it. I'm not against it, but for me, you're not British. You've earned that through working here. Does that make you less British or not? I guess that's down a further route. But I would look at it and go, well, no, Mikel Arteta is Spanish. Emi Martinez is Argentinian. That's who they should play for, really. I don't really like Adam's going to play for Scotland. What's all that about? He's not Scottish, is he?
I don't know enough about him, but I'm assuming, yeah, I'll take your word for it. Nah, he's not Scottish. He hasn't got
I don't care. But
was it his grandparents or something?
And I do, for Scotland particularly, I do understand it, because Scotland having the Che Adams is a game changer for them. A striker could actually score goals. That's big for them. And I'm not saying they shouldn't go down that route. I'm just saying, I don't know, what if Messi came over here, Messi was suddenly available to play for England, I'd be like, yeah, okay, stick him in the England team. But it would never get to that point, is it? So the players that we're looking at saying, oh, he can suddenly play for England, if he's that fucking good, he's had to get British citizenship here for 5 years and hasn't been called up by his first choice country. How good is he anyway?
Mm.
I would rather have people whose first choice of language is English play for England, personally.
I think it's down to what... See, players that choose a country because they're not going to get international football for the country that they should be playing for, I disagree with. But if you feel a certain nationality for whatever reason, then I don't have an issue with that necessarily. I mean, what about Wilf Zaha and Ivory Coast?
Yeah. Well, no, I get that completely.
But he made that decision quite early and he's sticking with it and crack on, right? Because there's a second part to the question, which is directed at me, probably because it's not... it wouldn't work for you, mate, for obvious reasons. But, Suj, would you play for your other eligible countries other than England if you were a pro baller? And it then comes back. Like, when I was growing up, I've got tons of mates, Indian mates, who will support England at football and India at cricket. And I can never get that. I don't understand why would you want to support India at cricket and England at football? Because it's not like... I can understand why you wouldn't support India at football. Fucking hell, that's pretty fucking obvious. It's not like England don't play cricket, right? So what is that about necessarily? Are you either supporting a country or you're not? But then I also get like, there's roots in India. There's no other sport you're going to fucking support them at, is it? You're not going to support them at kabaddi, are you, for fuck's sake? So there's a chance to have
I like kabaddi. There. That's a cool game, Matt.
But like, my mum was born in Kenya, right? So would I be Victor Wanyama's brother in a team or not? I don't know. I think I'm born and bred British English. So I don't know, is the honest answer. India are that shit. And if I was a pro baller and I wasn't going to get into England team, I'd probably just go and play there for shits and giggles. Because it's not like you're going from England to Spain or England to Holland. You're going from a good country to a shit country. Like Antonio, he's going to Jamaica. They ain't got fucking hope in a lot, have they, really? So have a bit of fun and go and do it. Experience a bit of international football.
So I could have played, in theory, for the Republic of Ireland. For a grandparent, right?
Oh, nice.
But I can't think that I would have ever made that choice. Don't get me wrong. Ireland, I always want them to do well, etc. 2002 World Cup. Like, I shouted goal really hard when Robbie Keane, partly because he was Tottenham, equalised for the Republic of Ireland against Germany in that tournament. In fact, we hadn't even signed Robbie Keane at that point, so I'm talking out of my fucking arse. Maybe I knew he was coming. But I shouted goal really loud. And I was gutted when they lost to Spain in the last 16 as well. But I can't... What would I have played for Ireland for, in respect? So that's not my country.
No.
My country's England. So like you're talking about Zaha, where he feels like, oh, he's got that link with the Ivory Coast. And I get that. Personally, my take on it would be either where you're born or where your mum and dad's from. And let's just leave it at fucking that. Because we got countries out there who, like, you see, like, Brazilians playing for Russia and Ukraine and stuff. What, because they've gone and earned a fortune living out there playing for Shakhtar Donetsk for 5 years, and because they're not good enough for Brazil to now play for Ukraine and stuff. I get it. You earn it through the nationality of working there for certain years. But really?
Nah. Yeah, I don't like that. James Heard, which two Chelsea players do you think will score the most points between now and the season's end? So,
which two Chelsea players? Yeah.
I'm going to go with the two that I'm most likely to buy on wildcard, which is Edouard Mendy. I can get my Mendy's mixed up. Just because of the lack of rotation, I feel he's the safest. And then I'm going to go Mason Mount, because I think, again, most consistent any one of them could top it, but if I had to go with two because of their price and lack of rotation, I'd go Mendy and Mount.
I'll go Azpilicueta and Pulisic.
I mean, Azpilicueta is also the least rotation prone defender, so I don't mind that at all. Pulisic, I don't know. I don't know what Tuchel's doing up top. So,
well, he just finished last season out of training, didn't he? So.
Ben Miller, has doing this podcast changed your perspective on football?
Yes. You have to think about what I'm saying in public quarters.
I mean, I was self-admit, never like a diehard crazy fan, but I feel like I've learned a shitload. Obviously, sitting talking to you and the way games are going and stuff, I've learned so much that I feel much more knowledgeable talking about the subject or watching games or what have you. But it's also made the West Ham experience a bit more intense than it ever was. And that has negatives as well. Like when you have shit days, they're worse because you know you're going to have to come and talk about it and get shit for it. So it has pros and cons.
Oh, I was so looking forward to Ask James on Friday. Like, you wouldn't believe, first thing. I need to get up.
I was thinking, James has gone live at 6 a.m. because he knows no one else is going to come on. Yeah, all right, mate.
Oh, dear.
Proudest moment to date being presenters for a community of people. It's got to be the 24-hour. We've talked about that before, but yeah.
Yeah, definitely the 24-hour. Also lives.
Yeah.
And just the doing the launching patron, there's chump out the bum. There's a few things.
Scott, has the poison snail come close yet? No, we're still alive, so we're doing all right. There's no poison. We ain't got the money.
We haven't taken the money. Mm. Oh, I tell you a little true story though. So the other night, they'd gone to bed, wife and Harry. I mean, it was like 12 o'clock at night or something. And I'd taken the black bag out of the bin because it was too full. I was like, oh, fuck it, I'll take that out in the morning. It's just sitting there in the middle of the kitchen. And it started moving. Oh. And I thought of the snail. See, you know, like, it's obviously something within the bag has decided I'm really, really slowly going to begin to fall out of it.
Yeah, it's quite full.
Yeah. I thought of the snail. And I started laughing inwardly to myself. I was like, you idiot, don't take the money.
Srivastava, how are you doing, Ardha? She says, do you think Bale and Mourinho will be friends again by the time you play Newcastle? If not, I can move on and take a 1 week punt on Havertz for Bale.
Very much what I covered on podcast earlier, if you haven't heard it yet. I don't have an issue with Mourinho not picking Bale yesterday. It's all about recovery and stuff and the potential opponent. I went into it in more detail on the main pod earlier, but the answer to your question is just chill the fuck out till Wales have played their third game and see where he's at.
Yeah. Rob Pick, I saw a lot of pundits on TV say that Spurs wouldn't have lost to Zagreb if Højbjerg played and how excellent he's been. Do you think you'd have gone through if he played? Either way, it felt like lazy journalism. I'm just going to add to what Rob's saying there. I listened to your game in patches yesterday. And again, exactly that on Five Live. I think it was Alistair Bruceball. I can't remember saying. Højbjerg for 15 million was one of the buys of the season and had been excellent in midfield. The exact words.
He was better last night, in fairness. And that's because two reasons. I'll cover it more tomorrow. One, positionally was a little bit safer. I could feel that even in the first half of the game. And two, that Villa don't have midfielders from central positions who run beyond and cause that sort of problem where he's going to go and press them and they're going to suck him in and go past him. There was a moment, and I can tell you precisely, it was, actually, no, I can't, but it was either the 82nd or the 85th minute, and he went and pressed something on the halfway line. And had he won it, we were in an amazing counter-attacking position. But he didn't. And then they were at us. And if they score at that point, it's like, you're fucking potentially costing us what's so routine and easy here. And to be honest, there were parts in the end of that game. All right, here's where it's at. I don't want him to do it. I want someone else to do it. I want him because when he sits and screens and protects, he is an extremely good defensive midfield player. That's the point. I don't need him going and getting in people's faces when we've got so many other attacking people on the pitch. Sit and protect a defence which is fragile. Help them out. He was better last night.
Rob asks about your top three one-week punts for those that are wildcarding in 31. So having a go this week. Do you think Leeds?
Well, everyone's going to be on it, aren't they?
Chelsea.
Chelsea's the obvious, isn't it?
Yeah. If you haven't already got Jesse Lingard, pull my headphones
Jesse
out,
Lingard.
Mate.
Oh, Jesse Lingard away to Wolves.
Yeah. I think so. Give it a
one. 1 week punts. Okay. The Chelsea is obvious, and that's where you're going. I mean, to be honest, I can see my transfer because I'm quite happy with the rest of what I've got this week. I can see my transfer this week being Johnston to Mendy.
I was going to do Pope to Mendy.
Just to be honest, just because it's the easiest one to do. It's not even a case of all the security of the playing. I look at my 10 outfield players and think, like, my bench next week at the moment is bust. Soufal, Souček and Lookman. Right? At the moment, Lookman third sub away to that shit Aston Villa. So I don't really, there's not a lot I really want to do with the outfield of the pitch. So I might just go Johnston to Mendy and then go, because I've got Areola up against Watkins, then I'm on an all-in strategy for the week. It's better.
Yep.
So I can see me going Johnston to Mendy. But in terms of best one-week punts, you want something a little bit different to come out of my mouth, don't you? Let's say Callum Wilson. Mateo Vidra and Richarlison.
All right, there's three. There's four questions left, James. Let's get through them. Tom Hall, do you think managers should be calling out players on their mistakes in interviews like Jose does, or give broad smiley answers and avoid digging out players like Ole Gunnar?
I think you should give broadly fucking smiley answers.
Yeah, I agree.
Unless it's something that's indefensible. So I think, you know, if someone goes in and makes a two-footed challenge unnecessarily,
yeah,
and
it's
gets
not
sent
enough,
off but... and costs the team, then you know that player's thrown you under the bus. You have every right to throw them back
yeah,
under it.
But I think it's don't say anything. It's there's two sides to it. I agree with you. I think broadly just avoid digging them out, but don't say anything in public that A, they weren't expecting or wouldn't. You'd be like, why the fuck's the manager said that about me? If you're not willing to say it to their face, or that you don't think that they would be expecting you to be able to say that, then don't say it and put a positive spin on it. You can say something like, you know what? He knows he's let us down there, right? You're saying that he knows that he's done wrong, or he didn't do well, but he knows, and we'll sit down and talk about it, and he'll improve, and we'll work on it, and he's getting better, or whatever. There's ways of saying that he's done fucked up here, but he's going to work on it. And I think that just has way more of a positive impact. I think sometimes it's very clear managers say stuff that the players might not expect or react to. And also, you've got to know the players, right? There's certain players that would take it on the chin and, yeah, fine, give as good as they get. And there's certain players that will get the hump if they're called out in public. So, yeah, I think it's very individual, but I don't like Mourinho's style for sure.
Who does?
How do you think Antonio playing for Jamaica will affect West Ham? The extra travelling won't be good for an injury-prone player. My guy is flying first class, mate. I don't know what we're worried about. Legs stretch. He needs three seats, one for each thigh and him in the middle.
Jamaica. I can see him with his feet up on a fucking jumbo in a big robe or something.
Chilling.
He's sitting there in like big boxer shorts. I don't mean boxer shorts like you and I, but I mean like real boxers.
Yeah. Players do it, don't they?
It shouldn't be a big issue.
No, I don't think so either. FPL Platypus also says, looking back at when Tottenham sold Walker and nearly sold Danny Rose, do you as a fan feel sad for what Rose's career has turned into since then, especially compared to Walker's? I mean, you've talked about Danny Rose with real praise as one of your best players that season, one of the best left backs in the world. A lot of praise for Danny Rose then.
don't know about best left back in the world, but he was absolutely phenomenal for Tottenham in the first half of 16-17, he was best left back in the country by distance. I'm very sad the way it's worked out for Danny Rose. I'm not sad that old Kyle Walker got trophies and Danny Rose didn't. I'm sad that Danny Rose is now doing nothing with his football career. And it might not all be his fault. He suffered through mental stuff, which I've spoken about. And depending on which Tottenham fan you speak to, you get a very different answer. You get the Danny Rose downs tools, or you get the Danny Rose, which I saw, which was leaving it all out to dry in Amsterdam when his ability was dead. And he carried himself for the end of 18-19 season when just through sheer will, with nothing left in the tank because his ability had gone. Always gave his all on that football pitch. That was never, ever in question with Danny Rose. He's the sort of player, at his peak, you could have 11 Danny Roses and win a game of football on sheer commitment. So to see the way it's fallen out, no, I'm not comfortable. I've said before, I hope that somewhere in the back pastures at Tottenham, someone is constantly looking out for him and checking on him because he's an employee of them and they have a responsibility to him because he is still an employee of Tottenham.
When's he out of contract, do you know?
I think this summer, probably. Right.
Hopefully he'll move on and get somewhere.
He's not done anything this year.
No.
He's played two games for the under-23s. That's all he's done.
And last but not least, we have a question from Dylan. Will you be watching the Women's Super League next season? It's going to be broadcast on Sky.
Probably not. Mm-hmm. I don't mean that disrespectfully, but I haven't even been watching Champions League football this year. So, like, I ain't going to watch. I'll watch Europa League final. I ain't going to watch none of the rest of it.
No.
Unless I hear Arsenal on the verge of going out, in which case, yeah, let's get it on. Champions League, to be honest, even them quarterfinals, I probably won't watch any of the quarterfinals in Champions League. If Chelsea Liverpool is a semi-final, we'll probably watch it. Final, obviously, I'll watch. But I've had to make sacrifices this year for the Premier League schedule. So at the moment, can I see me making time for women's football? In all honesty, no.
Yeah, me neither. That's a wrap, James. That's the questions. Pow, pow.
Nice one. Tottenham tomorrow.
Nice. And I'll be looking forward to that one. Looking forward to it.
You can talk me through what it's like to play a 3-0 lead, you brat.
It was funny. Someone messaged me and goes, oh, at least we know what it's like. We know what Spurs felt like now. I was like, no, we don't. They lost to Arsenal. We got a point, mate. Boom, boom. Ciao for now, patrons. Stay safe.
I'll have you know, Suj, we took 3 points off Arsenal this year. You took one. Cue music, please, man child. Messi.